thought that. I've always thought that all my whole life. And worship is good. And anything that tells God who he is worthwhile. If you're visiting today, please take one of our little blue cards. You can find them on any flat surface in the back. Fill that out and let us know you were here, and we'll just text you and say, glad you were here. If you have a prayer concern or if you have a need, please put that on there. If you'd like to be on our text chain that goes on here, please do that also. If you're not receiving our text, that would be good. Kids, if you haven't gone, go ahead and go to your class. Next week, they will be in their classes the whole time. And so I wanted you to be aware of that and know that that's going to happen next week. So when they come, you'll just go back there, register them in, and then after the services, go back and get them. And so that'll be kind of how that'll go from here on out as Pat and Terry develop our children's ministry. I want to say some good things about them. They have been doing great. They had a couple messy mayhem days. I started out with, I think, 5 or 6 kids the first night. I had 12 the Friday. It's just been really good to see them reach out and love on our kids and tell them who Jesus is. Also, a couple just good news things. I was going to say it last week, and I forgot. Terry Wallace was on a restriction thing, and he's totally off that. And he is off that and doing well, right, Terry? And give God a hand. He literally fell off the back of a tomato truck. No, I'm just kidding. He fell off the back of a truck this last winter, and he, by all rights, may not have been a guy who should still be here, but he's here, and God saved him, I believe, and gave them a miracle. So we're glad for that. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into our lesson today. Jesus, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we can come and zone in on it for a few minutes. I thank you for worship that we just had. I thank you for communion that Bob led us in, and for our offerings and tithes, and for all those things. And we know that they make up what the early believers did when they got together, so we do the same thing. And no matter what the style of music is, or whether we're sitting or standing or yelling or screaming or just sitting there reverently, God, that you are worthy to be praised. And we just pray that these next few minutes as we open this, the word open, that you would speak through me and help me to keep my mouth open and going where it's supposed to. And when it's not, just stop those words. And forgive me for being who I am sometimes. God, I'm so messed up and so broken. But because of your son, Jesus, I can stand up here today and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Love you, and we praise you and give you these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are 55 plus, I forgot to say this. If you're 55 plus, meet me in the kids' game room about 10 minutes after service. We're just going to kind of talk about the direction of where we're going to go this fall and this winter, wanting your input on that, 5 minutes most, and looking for some suggestions, looking for you to kind of put some input, morning, nights, you know, what do you want to do? That type of thing. So please be sure and meet me back there. We're in a series called Hot Topics. Hot Topics. And we spent the last 2 weeks looking at our identity and who we are in Christ. And that's very important. It's important to know who we are, because if you don't know that you're a child of the King, you'll be swayed by anything and everything. And so today we're going to talk about another, I believe, a topic that is a good topic, not just to talk about in summer, but to talk about anytime. And it's a topic that I don't believe I've ever talked or shared with in our church here. And it's this very sentence. It's escaping a people-pleaser trap. Escaping the people-pleaser trap. Let's start there. For most of my life, 67 years of it, I have largely been a people-pleaser guy. I want people to like me. I want everything to be okay around me. I don't want chaos. I have fought the good fight, and I have tried and tried and tried to make people content around me. Not happy, content. And about 15 years ago, I woke up one day, and I gave that ambition up. I gave that ambition up, and finally I remember I switched my thinking to understand that from then on, I was really going to try to try to only please God. Now, I don't do it all the time, but it has largely affected the way that my life has gone. And I believe that any time we try to please other people or please ourselves, we are out of step with where God wants us to be. God wants us to only think about Him and every decision and choice that we make on this planet that we call Earth. And then as Jesus people, when we start looking at our lives, I think we can see that the only choice that really matters is really pleasing God. And so it brings peace. It brings a supernatural peace because you begin to understand that your choices are not based on current events. They're not based on the current trends. They're not based on the way your mom or dad treated you or didn't treat you. They're based on who God is and His perfect plan for our life. And so some of you are sitting here today and you identify with this when I say, I'm a people pleaser. And because a lot of you are. But a lot of you go, you know, I don't care what people think about me. And that's probably true. And so you do care, though, about what you think. And that's a problem, too. Because not only can you be a people pleaser and it's a problem, but you can be about pleasing yourself all the time and figuring out your comfort, figuring out your level of okayness with everything that's going on, and forgetting that God has a choice and a plan for you. So this week, during our Hot Topic series, we're going to do how do we get in this trap that causes us to care so much about what people think or to not care at all about what anybody thinks except what I think? Because if I think it's okay, if I think it's truth, if I think it's good, then I'm going to do it. If I feel okay, then I'll progress forward with that. If you got your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to do a lot of scripture today, just one sentence scripture. But Proverbs is our starting scripture today. Proverbs 29:25 says this: "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." There's our starting point today. Traps are hard. Down at Camp Brookfield, many of you have been there. There's a barn right in the middle of our property. And under that barn, every year, I have a bunch of groundhogs that come and get underneath there. I used to enjoy shooting them because I didn't like them, and they would take the bottom out of my barn. So I would sit there and I would pop them off. But finally, I got smart, and I had a friend. And you're going, well, that's cruel. Well, they messed up my barn, so they can be out in the wild, but they don't be under my barn because that's a problem. And so after a while, my neighbor said, "Hey, I've got some traps." And so he set a trap on both sides, and he, this year, caught 9 groundhogs there. 9 of them. And some of them he released, and some of them not so much. He released way far away, and they'll probably be back. But just watch those things in traps. It was hard. It was hard to see an animal in a trap. And I think that you and I, when we find ourselves in the trap of people pleasing, we become somebody that we're not supposed to be. And we scream and we holler and we try to fit in, and we try to get people to like us, and we try to make people enjoy being around us, when in essence we really find that it's very, very hard to even make ourselves content, let alone somebody we don't need. At the very start today of my lesson, here's one thing I want to clarify. You do need the approval of others in your life. You do. You need some approval of others in your life. But you don't need it to dominate your life. You don't need it to be where it's all about you, because it can be, you begin to live for yourself. And when you live for yourself, you're not living for God. You're living for what you think you should do and not what pleases ultimately God. But like all God's gifts, everything that God gives us, it can be taken something that's so legitimate and made so wrong. A lot of us have things that we've been given and we take and we misuse them. We misuse food. We misuse social times. We misuse our money. We misuse our time. And we take something that was given to us, this gift, and we don't use it rightly. So God is calling you and he's calling me today to say, hey, look in at yourself. And are you more concerned about what people think? Or are you more concerned about what you think? Or are you more concerned about what I think? I want to share with you a couple traps today, and then we're going to talk about the cure, the answer. The traps that I want to share with you today is probably the problem with traps. And the problem with traps is once you get in them, it's tough to get out of them. Okay, and because I want you not to miss this, because traps cause us to miss God's purpose for our life. When you get in this trap, it causes you to miss what God wants you to do. Say, I'm okay, I'm all right. Well, you may be, but you're missing the things that God has for you. He has a storehouse of activities for you. He has a storehouse of people that he wants you to show who he is. He has an unending supply of things that he wants for you to press into. And you cannot be worried about everybody else or worried about yourself more than what God thinks and what he created you to be. He created you to be, to praise him, to ask him, to press into him and say, God, what is it that you want for me today with my kids? What is it you want me to do today with my schedule? What is it you want me to do? And we don't do that very much. We let our schedule dictate us. We let people dictate us. Some people say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But in reality, God loves you and everybody else has a plan for your life. You can find it that everybody's got something they want you to be doing that you're not doing. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be your kids. It could be your church. And you have to know what God's plan is. If you don't, you will find yourself someplace you don't want to be. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. He's testing our hearts because our hearts can be what? They can be wrong. And so he wants to test your heart. Is your heart focused on pleasing God, or is it focused on pleasing yourself or other people? That's the problem. It causes us to miss God's purpose. Here's another problem with traps. Traps keep us from growing in our faith. It keeps us from going to where God wants us to go. He wants you to go to new heights. He wants you to grow in a way that you never thought possible. When we try to please others or please ourselves, it stunts our spiritual growth. It stunts our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this for a second. When God is big in our lives, we have less room for people in our lives. When people are smaller in our lives, we have more room for God. When God is big, there are less rooms for his people. But on the flip side, when we allow people to be big in our lives and ourselves to be big in our lives, there's less room for God. Does that make sense to you? You can shake your head like this. It's okay. Nobody's going to check your license or anything. God and people can't be equal size in our lives. They cannot be equal size. We have to choose who we're going to give more of us to. Question then is this. Whose opinion matters more? Your friends, yours, or God's? There's the question to send home with you today. Whose opinion is more in your life? Which covers more weight with you? The Bible says in John 5:44, you try to get praise from each other, but you do not try to get praise that comes from only God. So how can you believe? I love that version. It's the NLT version. It says this, you try to get praise from each other, but you do not try to get the praise that comes from only God. So how can you believe? Do you understand that? That's a problem then. And so we have to understand that trap, and that's the problem with that second problem with that trap. The third problem with this trap is that sin, that it leads to sin, and when it leads to sin, it keeps me in that sin. It keeps me in that trap. I walked out of my cabin, and I saw the first little groundhog, and he had been he'd been smashed, to be nice, and it was not a pretty picture. It was not a pretty picture. It's not something you wanted to see. That groundhog and his life had been severely altered. That's what happens with sin. It severely alters your course that God has set for you. When I was a teenager, I was a horrible young man. My parents taught me who Jesus was, but I didn't really care very much about that. But thankfully, God had a plan for me, and I never got away with anything. Every coach caught me. Every teacher caught me. My parents caught me. I did something with the police in my little town in Blooming Grove, and the police even caught me. They knew me, and they let me go, but I got in trouble. I got in horrible trouble. And every time my parents would ask this question that many of you have posed to your kids over the years, would say this, after I just had screwed up royally, and I would start to say, you know, but everybody's doing this, Mom and Dad, and everybody was just going, and so I did it too. And my mom and dad would say, well, would you jump off a bridge? To which I would say, yes, I would. And I did. I was dumb. I was just dumb. But that's the thing. We think that's a dumb question, but it is. It's a good question. Would you do something so stupid just because everybody else would do it? Yes. Yes, you do. Right? Yes, you do. Because you want people to like you. When you look at Scripture time and time again, we see people who love the Lord so much with all their hearts, the Bible says about them. Yet in their own way, they would jump off a bridge and break their legs. They would jump off a bridge and they would hurt themselves severely in that instance. So the question that I pose to you about this trap is this. Is God big, or is the opinion of others big in your life? Or is your opinion big in your life? Which one are you today? Do you care more about others or your own opinion than you do about God's? That leads us to our fourth trap. And the problem with this trap is this, that it can lead to being a hypocrite. And none of us want to be called a hypocrite. Kids ever called you a hypocrite? Yeah, that's really hurtful. When your kids say, well, you're a hypocrite. You say one thing and you, what, do something else. That's hypocrisy. When hypocrisy invades our lives, we start to wear masks and we become chameleons. And it's completely exhausting because we forget who we said we are. And it goes back to our identity. And so what we do is we put ourselves out there and we reinvent ourselves all the time, depending on who we're around. That happens with some of us. God wants you to be the same inside and out, regardless of who you're around. What context we're in. 2 Corinthians says this, 2 Corinthians 10:18. You brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval. It's only what he thinks that matters. It is not, it doesn't matter what you think, but I feel it's okay. It doesn't matter. All your friends, it doesn't matter. It only matters what God thinks. That's the problem that leads to being a hypocrite. The last problem, and I share with you, and then let's get into the answer. The last problem with traps is that it silences my witness. And we're going to spend a lot of time the next couple months talking about our witness, because I believe it's a problem with the church. I believe that our witness is not very strong. We say one thing, and we do another thing. We say we love Jesus, and then we don't necessarily do it with our actions. We don't necessarily do it with our time. We don't do it with our resources. So the problem with traps is they silence your witness. It silences your ability to share who Jesus really is in your life. John 7:13 says this: no one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public. They were scared. They were scared what was going to happen to them, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with leaders. I don't know if we're scared of getting in trouble. I just don't think we want people to think we're nuts anymore, because somebody who thinks about the Bible is a nut. Somebody who is archaic enough to believe the Bible, what is wrong with you? And so we're not afraid of people. We're afraid of being thought of as a nut job. Oh, you believe that. Oh, you think that sin is wrong, and it's always there's a truth in all that truth in all of us is not right. That there's only one truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. Well, you're a nut. See, we become very, very concerned about that. Thinking about that led me to this question, and I think it's up on the board today. Who around us would hear about Jesus if fear wasn't an issue? If you weren't scared of being thought of as a nut, who is it in your life that needs to know who Jesus is? I didn't say the church. I want you to invite people to church. I want you to ask people to come be a part of this fellowship. But I say again to you today, who have you told who Jesus is in your life? Who is going to go to heaven because of something you've said or done? That's convicting. Because the flip side of that is, who's not going to go to heaven because of what you haven't said or been a part of? Ouch. Ouch. You know, there are times that we don't want to do the right thing. I understand that. But the truth is, if you're worried about what other people think, you are in a bad spot. You are in a spot where you care more about what they think than what Jesus thinks, and you're not pleasing God. And the Bible calls that idolatry. Anything that comes before God is idolatry. It is set up as a little mini God. Anything that comes before God is an idol. Jesus told us again and again, when you know the truth, it does what? It sets you free. I don't have to be in a trap. I don't have to worry about what people say or think or do. I just am content with the fact that knowing that my decision was based on, here's what God would have me do. So what I want to do in these last couple minutes, got about 7 or 8 minutes left, and here's where I want to go with this. I want to give you a couple simple truths to let Jesus do something in your life, in your spirit today. The first remembrance I want you to bring to your heart today is this, is remember that God can't even please everyone. Even God cannot please everyone. Right now, there are people praying for a different win at different sports. Half of those people are going to be disappointed in the game. Right now, there are people praying for it to rain, and some people are praying for it to be sunny because they're going on vacation. They are going to be disappointed. Even God cannot please everybody. Why would you? Only a fool would try to do what God cannot do. You think you're God? You think you can please everybody? There is no way you can please everybody. you have to accept it. Only a fool would do that. Let me tell you something. Not a time in your life is going to happen when all men are going to speak well of you. The only time that's going to happen, you know when it is? At your funeral. And people will say good things. Oh, he was a good fisherman. Oh, he loved people. Oh, he was a good, oh, he was such a good egg. Oh, he was great. And under their breath, you know, they're going, well, he was a son of a gun to me. He was a pistol. You know, he shot every chance he got at me. He said things that were mean and nasty. No, they don't say that. The only time people are going to speak well of you are at your funeral. You have to remember that. That's a truth that we've got to get a hold of. Here's another truth. I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. I don't need anybody's approval to be happy. Not only can I not get it, but I don't need it. I don't need it. You don't need anybody's approval to be happy. Because what other people think of you has no relationship to the happiness unless you choose to let them manipulate you in the way that they're going to manipulate you. Some of you in this room are 50 and 60 and 70 years old, and you're still trying to get somebody's approval. You're trying to maybe not get it. You're trying to get something that you're never, ever going to get. But even better news is this today. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it to be happy. You don't need their approval, because the bigger God is in your life, the smaller the people are in your life. The bigger you make people in your life, the smaller God is in your life. Let's all be really honest here this morning for just a second. Just a second. If you're looking for any human being to meet your needs, or all your needs, or most of your needs, you're going to be severely disappointed. Oh, he will complete me. Oh, she will complete me. And you're married about 3.2 minutes and you figure out, oh, there ain't no completeness to this dude at all. This dude is, whoa, what did I sign up for? If you're looking for any human being to keep you, to make you happy, to bring these things in your life, you're going to be unhappy the most of your life, because they're going to disappoint you. Human love runs out. God's love never runs out. Psalms 27:10 says this. I love this. Even if my mother and father abandon me, or they reject me, the Lord will hold me close. The Lord will hold me close. Even if you're here today and your mom and dad looked at you and said, I don't want you. We don't want you. The Lord will hold you close if you allow him to. And many of you grew up with parents that were unpleasable. Parents that never said anything good about you. If you're still waiting on them to say something today, God wants to talk to you and do some business in your life today. Even if my mom and dad abandoned me, God wants to comfort you. Will you let him? Will you let him? Stop looking for people to comfort you. People will not comfort you. A new guy, a new girl will not do the job. Only God will do that. So remember, I don't need other people's approval to be happy. And I don't need my own self-approval to say, because there's books about this, thousands of thousands. I'm okay, you're okay. So if I'm okay, you're okay. You're not okay. You are not okay in any sense of the word. You are a broken mess. You know what the things you think about. You know the things that goes on in your inner dialogue. You know the things you think about. Most of the people that you bump up against, they're fat. They're ugly. They're stupid. and on and on and on. Why do they think like that? Oh my gosh, did you see what they're driving? And they're broke. Did you? You know, all these thoughts go through our heads. Even if mom and dad abandoned me, God wants to comfort me. Number three, truth. Here's a good one. Remember, what seems important now is only temporary. It's only temporary. The reason you become a people pleaser is because you put more emphasis on the here and now than you do on eternity, than you do on tomorrow, that you do on it's going to be forever. Think back on your high school adventure if you're out of high school for any amount of time. How many of you, when you were in high school, it seemed like the universe was all about you? It was all about the high school that you were in. And you thought about all these people that were in high school, and they were going to make this incredible difference in your life, and they were going to be there for you. And then a lot of you, not all of you, but some of you have graduated, and you've never seen those people anymore again. And you did, and you said, and you were part of so many things that you never needed to be a part of because you were worried about what people were thinking about you. Think how important those activities were. Think how you move mountains to do things in school. Think how you move mountains to do stuff and you miss some things maybe that you should have never, ever missed. Maturity, listen to me, don't check out. Maturity is learning that all the things that you thought were really important aren't important at all. Maturity, growing, is saying, you know, all that stuff that I thought was important, all that stuff that, and it changes to the 30s and 40s. It does, I need to get married. And that's very important, and it is. And, oh, I need to have some kids, 3.2 kids. And we have 3.2 kids. I don't know what the point two is, but we have 3.2 kids. And we think it's all going to be okay. And, yeah, I'll get this job, and that's not, and then I get this other job, and then we'll put away for retirement. Then we get to retirement, and we go, oh, we don't got enough, or it's this, it's that. It all is a smokescreen. Everything like that is a smokescreen. Maturity is learning that the things you thought weren't important, they really weren't. 1 John 2:12 says this: the world, listen. The world and everything in it that the people desire is passing away. But those who do the will of God, they live on forever. Most of the stuff you spend your days doing is going to be like spit coming out of my mouth. And it's gone. But if you do the will of God, it will last forever. Does that not seem like something worthwhile today? To do things that are going to pass through eternity. And not just today. Well, sports was important. Dance was important. 4-H, sorry, I'm not knocking the fair people. It was important. It all is important. But is as important as pleasing God? No. We have to be very careful that we don't slight God because of people. John says this in 16:15, the things that are highly valued by people are worth nothing in God's sight. Let me say it again. The things that are highly valued by people are worth nothing in God's sight. Think about that. The things that are valued by people, God goes, it's nice for a little bit, but it's not your world. It's nice to get you to tomorrow, but it's not your world. And then lastly, the last truth. I only have to please one. I only have one to please. And that's my Creator. That's my God, my Savior. I only have to please Him. That simplifies life enormously. You want to learn how to live for an audience of one. And I'd like to say to you, more often than not, in this stage of my life, the older stage, I live in that space a lot. And it offends some other people because I don't always do the things I want to do. Because there's a lot of things I want to do. But I have to do the things that God has called me to do. Jesus said this in John 5:30. I don't try to please myself, but I only please the one who sent me. I'm not here to please me. Can I say that any clearer? I'm not saying it's Jesus. I only came to please my Creator, not me. And but we're living like it is, because the world's a mess, I know. And we're all stressed and we're all worried about something. Somebody's going to get blowed up or they're coming after us or the gas prices or the you know, whatever. You take the current melee of silliness going on. And all those things are huge. I get it. But in the scope of everything else, the things that are highly valued by people are just, I got to please God. I can't please myself. I can't please me enough. Have you found that out yet? That you try and you try and you try and you try and it's never enough? If I just get that one dress, it'll be nice. If I just get those pair of slacks, that'll be nice. If I just get that car, it'll all be good. And it's usually not. When I'm a people pleaser, I've allowed something else in my life to take first place. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I'm still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. That's a pretty big indictment by Paul. He says, if I'm doing that, if I'm pleasing people, I'm not a servant of Christ. Most of us in here, we say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you a servant of Christ or are you a servant of people? These truths will set you free. And I want you today to burn some of these things into your memory. God bigger, people smaller. People smaller, God bigger. That's my life from here forward. So let's review these truths as the band comes. Even God can't please everybody. And I got to remember that one. And I don't need everybody's approval in order to be happy because it's a choice. And what seems important now is not going to matter in the future. And when I get to heaven, what I thought was going to matter, it's not going to matter. I only have to please one entity, and that's God. There's only one in the universe that wants you to please them. It is not your husband. It is not your wife. It is certainly not your kids. It is the Lord Most High. Let's pray. Dear God, it is so easy to seek approval of people. It is so easy to take ourselves and to put ourselves on a place that we never were intended to be. God, may we put you back on the throne today in our lives. May we allow other people to see that the idols that we have been serving, we have put by the side, we have destroyed them, we have struck them down by your might. And we come today to say, Lord Jesus, be God again in our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. During our ministry time today, I want you to think about that. God is bigger, people is smaller. And then I want you also to kind of visualize that there's a throne in your life. And either you're sitting on it, other people are sitting on it, or God's sitting on it. And if God's not sitting on it, you've got idols. And God is calling you today to do something about that, to not walk out that door the same as you came in. That's the whole point of this today. It's not to come in here and to have some music and, you know, give our offerings and to hear a little bit of God's word. It's for you to say, God, you do a work in me. And so you, where it starts, where it begins, is you have to repent. You have to say, I'm sorry that I've made you not be on the altar. Not, you're not on the seat. That I've been sitting on the seat. That I've had my boyfriend on the seat. That I've had my spouse on the seat. So today I'm sorry, God. I want you to remove those things. I want you to do what only you can do. Let's see what God does during our ministry time as the band sings. I'll come back out here and close this in just a minute.